You are now listening to the Post Game Bar Tab Podcast. My name is Ray McGowan, and I'm joined by
Nick Baker, who's wearing a Barkevious Mingo jersey, by the way. A Browns jersey.
A Browns.
And
oh, perfect.
Yes, I've owned this for at least a year, if not more.
Okay, good. Can I see a receipt?
I can probably go find the email receipt. It was $11 on NFL Shop.
On NFL, really? 11? Yeah. Yeah. Was that including shipping or?
No, but it was free shipping on all orders at the time.
Oh my! So
it's $11.99. Yeah.
What?
He wasn't on the team anymore.
I think a keychain from NFL.com costs that much.
Yeah.
Not a jersey.
I like to just troll through the clearance jersey section. Because guys like Barkevious that nobody really cares about that haven't been on the team for a year or two, those jerseys get down cheap.
My gosh. Yeah. So you just like walk around with like all these jerseys then like of people like no one knows.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What's another one?
CJ Miles Raptors jersey.
I know who CJ Miles is though.
Yeah.
But I forgot. Did he really play on the Raptors?
Yeah, for like a month or two this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got stuff like that. I got a Jose Quintana jersey from the White Sox. Yeah, there's some cool ones. I got a Justin Morneau Rockies jersey.
Everyone's like, I don't know who that person is. And I'm a Rockies fan.
I mean, he was lit for like one season until he's like, all right, I'm out.
For like one time, he's like, I had a good time. I'm going.
Yeah, he
Goodbye.
Was like trying to like revitalize his career after that big concussion. And he's like, nah, I'm good.
I'm gonna go. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, but it's been an interesting week. It felt like there wasn't a lot in sports, but yeah, at the same time, there was a lot going on in sports.
I think it was more so that there wasn't anything monumental, but there was a lot of pretty cool things.
Yes, and pretty bad things, too.
Yeah. So I'll start off with something really quick. Edwin Encarnacion, who's one of my favorite players, and he's playing for one of my favorite teams, the Mariners, who are weirdly good this year for some reason.
Yeah.
He homered twice in the sixth inning against the Royals. They routed the Royals. It was like 13-4. He also did that against the Astros in 2013. There are only four other players ever to do that twice, to hit two home runs in the same inning twice in their career, and that's A-Rod, Jeff King, Willie McCovey, and Andre Dawson. That's some good company.
Yeah, that is good company. I love hearing the announcers during that game because like when I'm watching it, he hit the second home run, and that's a lot of the Mariners getting the double digits, and the guy just was like, how? He was just astonished. He just kept on yelling. He's like, that's two in one inning. I don't know what you could do.
Yeah, I honestly. And that's just what he does. And Dan Vogelbach, a teammate of his, I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, when he hits it, it just sounds different off the bat. He just hits it differently than anyone he's ever seen before.
Aren't the Mariners like trying to send it in this season, though?
It looked like it, but honestly, I don't know.
I'm not sure anymore.
We were like, well, they traded away like literally everyone that's ever meant anything to the franchise except for King Felix.
Yeah, and then Ichiro came back for like a game, and they're like,
he just wanted
please.
To retire a Mariner and play his last game in Japan, which was pretty cute. Kind of upsetting. He didn't get a hit. His last ever at bat was a ground out he couldn't leg out.
Oh,
but honestly, he was pretty close.
They took him out of the game though. He could continue playing.
It was the bottom of the ninth. They took him out for. It was kind of a cute walk off the field. Like, everyone's just taking the field for the Mariners is, what's his name? Walking off is Ichiro. And everyone's like, yay, Ichiro, yay!
Yay!
Because, like, after the game, everyone's going to leave. So you do it in the middle of the game.
So that way he gets a standing O.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
cute.
Yeah, you...
But the Mariners are 10-2 right now.
Yeah, which everyone, I'm fine. I'm surprising. And it's been a weird, like, beginning of the season. I mean, in my opinion, I tell everyone for the very first, like, part of the season, I say just hit the brakes for a second. Mm-hmm. Teams are still trying to figure things out because it's, like, now live, everything means something.
Yeah.
Like how the Astros,
the
Yankees,
Sox.
And the Red Sox all were in a major slump. Like, mm-hmm. 3-10 and 4-7. I mean,
the Yankees have struck out like 50 times already.
Yeah. Luckily, the Astros won four in a row. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for my heart, because I want to live a long life and not die this season. But it's everyone's like, this is it. Everyone's getting paid too much money, and it's going to be, this is the end.
Yeah.
This is the end of an era. And it's like, just slow down for a second. It's literally like 10 games.
Yeah, this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
But it's looking pretty good. Their last three games, the Mariners haven't won a game by less than 7 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting up some numbers on the board.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I tell people just to hit the brakes for like half a second.
Oh, yeah. You just definitely have to take it with a grain of salt.
Like, you're skating on ice, just pump the brakes a little bit, you know?
Any good Mariners fan will tell you the Mariners, for at least 1 month every season, look like the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And they'll always end up like 3 games back of the playoffs, regardless of how they look the whole season. They could look terrible, they can look great the whole season, and they will end up 3 games back of the wild card.
Well, they need to have some games to show film of to free agents.
Yeah.
They take that 1 week and be like, look how amazing we are.
Yeah.
And they exclude everything else after that. And they're like, listen, just you see how good we can be.
Yeah.
And if we add you, we'd be even better.
Yeah, they for some reason do acquire quite a bit of high priority free agents.
Yeah, and it's like,
we're ready to talk about bad stuff now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you talked about a standing ovation for Ichiro when he comes off the field.
Yeah,
the opposite.
Yeah.
Is of course getting booed off the field or get off from a plate. Chris Davis.
Yeah.
He's on the Orioles.
Yeah.
He is now 0-47 so far, like in the stretch.
Because
it was towards the end of last season, and now this season, I believe.
Yeah, it dates back to the last couple games of last year.
Yeah. So he is now 0-4. He's hitless for 47 consecutive at-bats.
Yeah, this season, he's 0-28. Last season, he ended on an 0-19 stretch, which...
Oh, my gosh.
Last season, he ended up hitting 168, which is bad. Honestly, his strikeout numbers were a little lower than they have been in the past.
That's what it is?
Like, because he had 192 strikeouts on 470 at-bats. The season prior, he hit 215. He had 3 more strikeouts, but had almost 20 less at-bats. So his strikeout numbers were almost... They were by no means a career low or a career high or anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, they're not good. They've never... Chris Davis's strikeout numbers, even his prime, were never good.
Yeah.
The season that he hit 53 home runs, he struck out one shy of 200 times. Well, the season he hit 47 home runs, he struck out 208 times.
Which is, yeah.
Which is a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, it's just because, in my mind, when I haven't been watching the Orioles, because who is? But
I mean, honestly.
But in my mind, I'm like, how many times is he striking out? And I was at the gym yesterday. I go to a gym, and it's like 2 in the morning because it's the only time I can go to the gym because I'm too busy at this point. And they have TVs in the locker room, and it's replaying of Chris Davis's thing.
Yeah.
And... when I saw it, I was surprised because he's hitting the ball.
Yeah.
It's just being popped up easy fly balls for people.
Well, he struck out 15 times, to be fair, which is more than once every 2 at-bats.
Yeah.
And he's been walked 4 times.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not seeing the ball. You know, 13 of his outs have been put in play. 4 times he's been walked. It's not like he's not seeing the ball. He's just making bad contact. And at this point, I'm sure he's well into his own head. You know, this is a home run hitter, right?
Yeah.
And so 2 years ago, 2017, he finished the season 215 average, which isn't terrible for him.
Correct.
He only had 26 home runs, though. So if you're going to have that 215 average, you should probably have over 30 home runs to be a relevant, you know, contributor to your team. The season afterwards, he hit 16 home runs. 16 home runs. There are second basemen that, you know, DJ LeMahieu types that are defensive specialists that hit more than that.
Yeah.
And he hit 168. He's not a great defender. He's not a terrible defender, but he's not a great defender. And he's making $23 million. So, you know, I'd say probably a month into last season, he got into his own head and he hasn't stopped.
Yeah. It's so surprising because during those replays while watching the TV, they're showing every single at-bat. And one of the at-bats, he hit the ball, and it pops up and starts going to foul territory on the right side. So the first baseman and the outfielder trying to get to the ball, and the outfield, the first baseman, I forgot who it was, tries to do like an over the shoulder kind of catch, like you're catching a football, and it hits him in the glove and it bounces off his chest and he lands. And the camera, I don't know who the camera guy is, but this guy had the camera on these kids right in front of the, like behind the Orioles dugout, and they all had their phones out and they're recording Chris Davis and his hit that went up in the air and landed in foul territory and was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were recording it all. And they're like, one kid goes, oh my gosh, he finally did it. And then he looks back, he goes, oh wait, it's a foul. So now you have kids that literally go to games with their phones just to record Chris Davis finally getting a hit.
Yeah.
Like that's insane to me. And this guy's getting paid
$23 million. Wait, 17 plus incentives.
Yeah, it's 160
bonuses, incentives, roster bonuses.
Yeah, it's $161 for $61 million for 7 years.
Yeah,
which blows my mind because like the league minimum is $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I'm not saying that I would not go over 47. But I feel like there's a little bit of luck in it where it's like, man, I'll make at least some kind of contact. Get at least like a blooper.
What?
Like round it in between a baseman and I'll get on base. And that's a hit.
I mean, even if you go up and bunt it every single at-bat, there's
one of them.
In 50 at-bats, you should at least have one where the third baseman misplays it. He can't quite pick it up just right. He throws it. It's a little offline. Not quite enough to be ruled an error.
Yeah.
Something, you know, so...
That's what shocks me. It's I'm not asking for a home run.
No.
I'm not asking for a double, a triple. I'm just asking you to freaking just get a single.
Good Lord.
Just
you know,
get a single, man.
It's not like you're just like a regular guy. You know, he's a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
He's 33 years old. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot of pitches from a lot of pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like at this point, just bank. It's going to be a fastball and swing as hard as you can. Right down the middle, every single at bat, and in 50 at bats, you're going to get one hit. You know, he's a power hitter, and we know that. We know Chris Davis can rake if he gets good contact.
Absolutely.
So honestly, if I'm the manager, I'm saying, you know what? Just swing down the middle for all I care right now.
Just swing.
Just swing. Like,
yeah. You're either
shoot, man.
You're either going to get popped out, fly, struck out, or at some point you're going to get a freaking hit. Mm-hmm. So just start swinging. If you miss the ball, you get struck out faster. We move on to the next guy. But just start swinging, guy. Like, Chris Davis is... He's the kind of athlete that makes me think... Like, I think there's... He has... that kind of athlete is in every single sport. It's the athlete that when you watch, you go, man, you know what? I could play that. I could do what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
He's that player right now for a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's playing the game where it's like everyone watching at home or in the stadium kind of goes, looks at him and goes, man, I could do that. I could do it for a ton less.
And for Rockies fans here in the area, he's, you know, akin kind of to Carlos Gonzalez into how the people like it. You know, they loved him for quite some time. And he's in a slump and it's hard for them to watch because it's, you know, for us, he's just Chris Davis. For them, he's Chris Davis, the guy who was carrying our team for a couple years. And it's hard for them to watch. And then, you know, you can't cut him because of the money. But there are a lot of fans for him, you know? So it's hard for them to watch. And, you know, looking at it, it is... So there are two stats that I like to look at. Advanced stats for batting that I like to look at for power hitters that kind of tell me how efficient they are. And those are isolated power and secondary average.
Yeah.
So for those of you at home, isolated power is your slugging percentage minus your batting average. Your slugging percentage basically, it's like an average, but it accounts more for doubles, triples, and home runs than a regular hit.
Right.
So slugging minus hitting, is your isolated power. To give you an example, when Chris Davis had that really great season, the one that got him this big old contract, he had a couple of pretty good ones. They were in 2013 and 2015. Those were by far his best two seasons, you know, all-star caliber seasons.
Yeah, because, of course, he had to do something in order to get this huge contract.
Right. His isolated power was 348 in 2013. It was 300 in 2015. Those are great numbers.
Yeah.
His secondary average, which is basically... calculating how many bases you contribute outside of hits. So the formula for that is walks plus total bases minus hits plus stolen bases minus caught stealing divided by at-bat. So basically it's how many bases can you generate per at-bat?
I'm scared.
Yeah. So in those two great seasons for him, his secondary average was 476 and 455. So these are power hitter stats or you know, like a Rajah Davis type mm-hmm. stat because of the stolen bases.
Yeah.
And so he's generating a lot, you know, of extra bases with all the home runs, all the doubles, all the triples.
Mm-hmm.
This year, his secondary average is 143. He obviously, his isolated power is zero.
Right.
Last year, his isolated power was 128.
Oh.
And his secondary average was 219.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, that hurts.
Those are hard stats to look at.
It hurts to hear it.
And you know,
man, can you imagine the guy who's recording down that stat? He has to watch every single, you know, at bat, and he's not getting on base. It's like, yeah. I have to record this, dude. I have to.
Like yeah.
I really don't want to, but I have to. Even like thinking about that idea, every fiber of my being is like, I can't. I just, it hurts to do that.
And to give you a bit of a idea as to a comparison, Rhys Hoskins is very similar to Chris Davis in his prime.
Right.
A very middle-of-the-road defender, an outfielder converted to first base with a big power stroke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rhys Davis's isolated power last year was 251. His secondary average was 410. The season before was 359 and 588. You know, he's contributing in a way that you would want. And Chris Davis, even
he's
in his
doing
prime,
something.
In his prime, he was doing pretty well. But outside of those 2 years, he has not had a great career. He's a very good six-hole hitter if you're paying him less than $5 million.
Yeah.
But for $23 million, I don't even know.
It's Baltimore Orioles, hit me up.
I mean, honestly.
Just do it.
At this point,
it blows my mind.
Yeah.
But we're going to move topics because I don't love this, but I also do absolutely love this. You know, Antonio Brown, of course, was traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Oakland Raiders. And Antonio Brown, of course, he had some choice words. Before he left, and some choice words when he finally was with the Raiders. But the Steelers posted saying that Juju Smith-Schuster was the Steelers' most valuable player last year for the season. And Antonio Brown did not take kindly to that. He took that photo on Twitter and retweeted it saying, boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind to busy making guys famous, not enough reality these days. By the way, check the list. And of course, Juju did fumble the ball. And we have to remember that Juju Smith-Schuster literally, right after the game, tweeted that it was his bad. I'm sorry. I feel terrible about it. It won't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And for Juju Smith-Schuster, he then tweeted after Antonio Brown tweeted like the whole like he can't believe that's dumb. Juju said, all I ever did was show that man love and respect from the moment I got to the league. I was genuinely happy for him too when he got traded to Oakland with a big contract, and now he takes shots at me on social media. Crazy how big that ego got to be to take shots at people who show you love. Shaking my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tweeted out a photo of a Mark Twain quote, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference. And then finally said, keep your emotions off the internet. Which doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop there. Antonio Brown then went into his DMs, his Instagram DMs, took a screenshot of the last message that Juju Smith-Schuster sent to him.
While Juju was in college.
Yes. So this was back in 2015. Juju Smith-Schuster was at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And he messaged Antonio Brown. He said, this is all it was. It was just this. He said, "What's up, AB? I'm a receiver at the University of Southern California. I appreciate all your work. A great man on and off the field. Do you have any tips that can help take my game to the next level? Thanks, man." So Antonio Brown took a screenshot of that and then tweeted it out, which I don't understand what his end goal for that was.
And not only does it make Juju sound better,
yeah,
it makes AB look worse. And also just, why are you doing that, man? It's disrespectful.
Yeah, someone said, oh, well, it's just the whole thing of like how Antonio Brown said, you know, people are going to say all this stuff when they're not getting paid and they're going to do anything to get the bag. And I'm like, okay, I could kind of see that. Mm-hmm. But this guy is, Juju Smith-Schuster is very young. And he's just looking up to you
for ways
to get better.
I think he thought that it would be like a character witness, you know, like a call to like, you can't call me a bad person. Look, you called me a great person a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Antonio thought it would do.
But instead, it's just like...
Yeah, no, instead it just made him look like a bad guy.
Yeah,
and like it made Juju look like a very nice, respecting young man.
Yeah, like he actually cared and wanted to be better and wanted to learn from... As he considered to be the greatest
receiver. Did he reply to that DM? Could you see?
I couldn't see.
Oh, okay. Because if he posts it and he just reads it and doesn't reply, that looks even worse on
him. Honestly. Yeah. And it's just, it blows my mind. He's now, just today, he just now deleted the post on Instagram. He deleted it.
Maybe.
I'm sure someone told him, like, hey, you look really bad in that. I don't know what your plan is, but you look really bad when you posted that.
I've never understood, like, Twitter beefs and things like that. Like, oh. What is your hope? You know, you're trying to slander someone who usually is or was your friend, you know?
And it shocks me. I think it's just like, apparently it goes back farther because AB ripped Ben Roethlisberger during the season and Juju Smith-Schuster said, well, he's my quarterback, so I'm going to go with the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then when Antonio Brown got traded, Juju Smith-Schuster tweeted out a photo of him toe-tapping in the end zone. Him grabbing a catch, and he said, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the play where Antonio Brown ripped on his offensive coordinator saying, I should have gotten the ball. Why didn't you throw to me? And now he's like, with the Steelers saying that Juju Smith-Schuster is the MVP, what do you want the Steelers to be like, you know, we trade you away and you talk trash about our owner and our coach and our quarterback and everyone else. But we're going to make you the MVP.
Yeah, our most valuable player is the guy that we traded away for trash.
Exactly. And you're just like, what do you want?
I mean, even if you really were, there's no way they'd say that.
No, absolutely not.
No. And he knows that. And he's just trying to start a fight just to start a fight because
honestly,
Antonio Brown's a drama queen.
It blows my mind. I'm glad someone must have talked to him and be like, listen, take it down. You can't have that up.
You know, that's something that concerns me with Preston Williams here at CSU declaring for the draft this early, because I've sat next to a lot of scouts in the box.
Yeah.
A lot of them were concerned with his attitude.
Yes.
And you know, guys like Antonio Brown, they're the reason why he's concerned, because the Raiders, the Steelers, they put up with his attitude to an extent.
Yeah.
But because he earned it, for a guy who's, you know, entering the draft, you know, like Preston and so many other receivers.
Yeah.
Why would I take a fourth round flyer on a guy who you know might be an issue? Why would I reach in the first round for a guy who's supposed to go somewhere in the second or third for a guy who very well might cause an Antonio Brown like situation?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of guys like Antonio Brown are really actually hurting the draft stock of guys who have had minor or mediocre attitude flares in college.
And even there in the box, it's interesting to see like their reaction and what they're looking for now, especially during in game. So my favorite thing to come out of this though, from the AB and Juju Smith-Schuster thing, was Le'Veon Bell tweeted out a picture that he got text from James Conner.
Mm-hmm.
He took a screenshot and he tweeted out that photo, and people go, "Oh no, Le'Veon Bell tweeting out something from James Conner.
It's probably bad."
Turns out, it was just James Conner saying, "Hey, congratulations on the new contract. I've always looked up to you, and I owe everything to you. I appreciate you, and I hope you continue to succeed in New York. And Le'Veon Bell took a screenshot of it and goes, this is, he just goes, now this is real love. This is real love. I love you to death, man. Everyone's like, what is happening right now?
Almost making fun of Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Everyone's like, hold, pause. The guy who held out for an entire season.
Yeah. He's not a bad guy.
Yeah. And it's like, everyone's like, wait, hold on. Yeah. Of all of them, that's my favorite thing. It's just Le'Veon Bell being like, yo, me and James Conner, we still tight, man. We're good. We okay.
That's a good one. I like that.
That was probably one of my favorite things to see from that. But before we start recording, I told you that I wanted to ask you a question that's NBA related.
Yeah, what's that question?
Now, it is NBA related.
Related, but not directly about the NBA?
Correct.
Okay.
Some news came out recently talking about how LeBron James couldn't get players to be a part of Space Jam 2. My question is, you know how in the original Space Jam, the aliens came in and stole the powers from NBA players?
Yeah.
I'll list off the players that they stole from. They stole from Charles Barkley, Sean Bradley, Patrick Ewing, Larry Johnson, and Muggsy Bogues.
Uh-huh.
That's who they stole back then.
Right.
You're making Space Jam 2. No player can deny being in Space Jam 2, because Space Jam is...
They can't deny it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Who are you going to put in that movie for the Monstars to steal their powers from?
Okay.
Yeah, see, yeah.
So, for Muggsy, I'm going to go with IT.
Okay.
Just because he's so small and cute.
Okay. Wow, come on, man. You gotta do IT like that? He's in Denver. He's going to come down here and be like, What'd you say? Small and cute.
If you remember, I don't remember that alien's name, but if you remember that alien, he's like really small and had a headband.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. So IT.
IT for that one. My next one is Charles Barkley. And Charles is for position wise, there's a lot of
the round mound of rebound.
Yeah. There's a lot of different like options there.
Uh-huh.
But you want the attitude as well. The Charles Barkley attitude. You know what I mean? So like, I'd say a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge would be pretty cool.
But
he doesn't have the attitude.
Okay.
You know, like he plays like Charles to an extent.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really have the attitude, so I would go with Draymond Green.
Really?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'd want to say like maybe a Anthony Davis, but okay. I don't know if he quite has that attitude either.
I thought
about Kristaps.
Well, when you said attitude, I really thought center with attitude, Joel Embiid.
Yes, I did too. But that's who would play Patrick Ewing's character. Joel Embiid is written off in my mind. That's the Patrick Ewing one.
Okay.
And then Sean Bradley, I would say probably Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Then you have a problem where you've got a bunch of big guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who would play the three there. You know, it gets to the point where, and this is mostly just me thinking about it for my own personal sakes.
Right.
I might change that to maybe a KD somewhere. And then Larry Johnson is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that I've had the most trouble with, because you know he's pretty much a two guard, and I can't think of any two guards that have a great. You know, maybe a Klay Thompson or a Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Yeah, maybe a Dwayne Wade, because they're buddies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but Dwayne Wade's kind of old.
Because the reason why I thought this, because not only did that come out saying that LeBron James couldn't get players to sign on for Space Jam 2,
yeah.
But Giannis recently came out saying, I denied being a part of Space Jam 2 because I don't want to be in Hollywood. I don't want that drama.
Yeah. I mean, Giannis would have been a good, what's his name? Sean Bradley.
So, for me, for Sean Bradley, because I specifically remember when the players all go to the hospital together and they're in the gowns,
yeah,
and they walk through the hallway through a doorway, Sean Bradley is the only one that smacks his head,
yeah,
on the doorway.
But it, the
so for Sean Bradley, I'm gonna go with Boban Marjanovic.
I was about to say, if you were looking for a real tall guy, you could go with Boban, yeah, or if you wait a year, maybe Taco Fall.
but I have to go with Boban.
Rudy Gobert, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a big, long, lanky guy. Because, I mean, I'm not super well-versed on the history of basketball, but Sean Bradley was not a star, per se.
No, he was just like... He was just a tall guy. Yeah, he had the entertainment kind of factor. Yeah. I'm going to go with Boban for that one because he's entertaining right now.
Yeah, he is. He's
very entertaining. Oh, my gosh, it's great. And he's about to appear in John Wick 3. For like a cameo or something.
Wait, Boban is?
Yeah, apparently Boban Marjanovic is going to appear in John Wick 3.
Love it.
I know. I'm surprised. It shocked me.
Love it.
For Charles Barkley, I would have to go with Joel Embiid because I think Joel Embiid has a kind of more attitude. Especially now, Charles Barkley now.
Yeah.
Added to like TNT reporter now.
Yeah, I mean, you could still go with Charles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you still could go with Charles. But I'm going to put Joel Embiid for Charles Barkley. Patrick Ewing is a hard one.
Yeah.
But
especially if you already use Joel Embiid, which was my issue.
Yeah. But
you could maybe go with AD.
But I don't want to go with a big guy. I kind of want something that's kind of like, you know, he's good. And I'm going to go with KD on okay. Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
Just because he's a tall guy, but not like the power kind, like mm-hmm. like center tall power kind of guy, but he has the skills to pay the bills.
Sure,
I'm gonna go with Kevin Durant. So I have Boban, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant. For Larry Johnson, this one's a tough one.
Yeah, that was the toughest one for me too.
Yeah, this one is the toughest one. Who'd you put in?
I said again? Clay, maybe Jimmy.
Clay Thompson. Or
Andre Roberson.
Andre Roberson.
I mean, honestly, he would work well.
Because that's the thing, though, is like these players, like Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, good. Muggsy Bogues, I mean, he was probably in the dunk contest, nothing too much, where everyone's like, yes. Larry Johnson, okay. And then Sean Bradley, not really anything where he's just really tall. So
Kyle Korver.
I was thinking Kyle Korver from Muggsy Bogues, okay. In all honesty.
Sure.
But then I thought for Muggsy Bogues, I want CJ McCollum as
nice.
Muggsy Bogues.
Nice.
And then
maybe Dame.
Oh yeah.
One of them.
Or Dame. And then for Larry Johnson, I want someone who's not like too much of a star, to be honest. I'm trying to find guys that are like
Andre Roberson.
Andre Roberson. I would see Paul George as Larry Johnson.
Okay. Not too much of a star.
I mean, no, I realize.
Not too
I
much
know.
Of a star.
No, that was poor planning on my part. Yeah. I think Paul George is fantastic.
No, he's great.
I don't know why, but he just seemed like the perfect fit for that one.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what your answer would be.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
How LeBron James is like, please, guys, I really need to cast for Space Jam 2. Please.
Lou Will would be a great Mowgli. He's in L.A. already.
Paul Pierce, please.
Lou Will, Paul Pierce.
John Wall, come here. Please don't tear your ACL again. Get out of bed. We'll have someone there for you. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed Space Jam as a kid.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was so ridiculous. Think about Michael Jordan going from basketball to baseball, then cartoon basketball, and then basketball. Like, that's the reason why I always thought in my mind as a kid, like, though. Well, that's the reason why he came back to basketball, is because you saved Looney Tunes.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to wrap us up here.
It's probably time to leave the tip, huh?
Yeah. My tip is, you know, when you're younger and you play sports, hey, just keep on practicing, keep on training, and keep on being, try to be the best that you can be. Because in the end, when you finally make it into that league and you look across the field... And you're looking at the batter, wherever position you play, and you look down and you see who's batting, and it's Chris Davis. Just realize that, you know what? You are better than a lot of people.
mine is to look into Trevor Rosenthal and hopefully his streak can continue with Chris Davis's, and they can face each other at some point.
Oh my gosh. Because
right now, Trevor Rosenthal, he hasn't faced a single batter that was batting higher than fifth, okay, in the lineup.
Right.
He's faced seven batters this year. He's given four hits up, walked four, and hit one with a pitch.
Oh. Oh.
He's allowed seven runs.
Oh, no.
As in, of those nine guys he's faced, seven of them have crossed the plate on his watch.
Oh.
And his ERA is currently infinity as he has no outs and has allowed seven runs.
He was pulled?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten a single out. He missed all of last year with a Tommy John surgery. He hasn't come back. So, best of luck to Trevor. Best of luck to Chris. But, you know, honestly, I'd rather the streaks end now or continue until they face each other.
Something's
got to give.
An immovable object versus, it's that scenario where it's like something that can't be stopped versus something that's can't move.
A bat with holes versus a ball that's the size of a strike zone.
Oh, my gosh. Dear Lord.
You just listened to the Post Game Bar Tab podcast. If you want to hear about sports, you can tune in Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 7 to 9 on 90.5 KCSU FM. Thanks for listening.